so we're going to continue this morning. And if you brought your Bibles with you, open up to the book of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15. This morning I want to talk about the very first step that we must take if we are going to have this vision. The very first thing that we are going to do, we're going to find it in John chapter 15. At this point in the scriptures, we meet Jesus. He's talking with his disciples, and he's been having a bit of a long conversation with them. And he starts a different topic right at the beginning of chapter 15, and I'm just going to read the first five verses of John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. It's amazing if you look at a vineyard, if you look at all of the things that are happening when you look at a large vineyard, everything is based upon the power of the vine. Everything comes from the vine. The vine is the very source of everything that you are going to see, everything that you would, the kind of grapes that you would get from a vineyard is based on the quality of the vine. Now, the Israelites, as God's chosen people in the Old Testament, they were continually called a vine. They were continually referred to as a vine. Jeremiah 2:21 says this, "Yet I planted you a choice vine, holy of pure seed." God chose the Israelites as his chosen people, and he's referred to several times throughout Scripture. He refers to the Israelites as a vine. So he says, I planted you a choice vine, holy and of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine? See, if you read through the Old Testament, you continually notice that the Israelites make poor decision after poor decision after poor decision. And so even though God had chosen them and even though God had placed them to be a vine, a source that would bring the blessing of God to the world, he said they'd become a wild vine. And what kind of a fruit do you think a wild vine would produce? Not very good fruit. If you have a good, healthy, pure vine, then you're going to produce some nice fruit. If you have a wild vine, you're going to get wild fruit. If you have rotten vines, you get rotten fruit. And so when Jesus starts conversing with his disciples, he begins with this statement, I am the true vine. I'm the real thing. Because I, as a source, will never produce bad fruit. I am the true vine. And this is the picture that Jesus is painting. Jesus is the vine, and the disciples are the branches. Israel was supposed to be God's vine, but instead of producing a delicious Zinfandel or Pinot Noir, they became wild vines. Have you ever been excited to taste a glass of wine only to discover that it was bad? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting my audience this morning. Have you ever been excited to drink some Welch's grape juice? No, that doesn't quite work. Okay, well, let's get back to the Bible and stop talking about alcohol. Okay, so Jesus establishes himself as the true vine. He is the best source you could ever have for grape juice. And so he says, as disciples, those who would follow after Jesus, you are like branches. And as long as you stay connected to the vine, guess what happens? You're going to bear fruit. As long as you stay connected to your source of life, you'll bear fruit. And so if you want to bear fruit in life, Jesus is saying, you have to stay connected to me. You don't have another choice. He goes on to say, apart from me, you actually can't do anything, which sounds just like a terrible insult. Without me, you can do nothing. So Jesus is saying, you've got to stay connected to me. So what does this have to do with our vision as a church? This is everything to do with our vision. If we are going to connect other people with Jesus, with his life-changing power, then we better make sure that we're connected ourselves. If we're going to make it our goal to help one another get closer to Jesus, to bring in other people who don't know Jesus and to connect them with Jesus, then we better make sure we're connected ourselves. Because if we're not abiding in the vine, how are we going to help other people? How are we going to be able to say, hey, come and get involved in this over here, get connected with this, if we ourselves aren't there? So step one of fulfilling our vision is to look in the mirror. It's to look in the mirror and examine ourselves. Let me give you an example. Most people at some point in their life own or drive a vehicle. Our society demands that we have a vehicle to get from point A to point B. And not if, but when your vehicle experiences troubles, because it probably will, when it breaks down, you need to know where you're going to go and bring it to in order to resolve that problem. Now, are you going to bring it to someone who understands that it's important to get your vehicle fixed? Because I could do that. I mean, I could sympathize with you. I could say, yeah, absolutely, we need to get this fixed. But let me give you a little bit of a tip. If you don't know me that well, don't bring me your car if you need it fixed. I am not qualified. Unless you want me to lay hands on your vehicle, I am not qualified for that position. You want to bring your vehicle to someone who knows how to fix the problem. You need to get to someone who has a source of information, a source of wisdom in order to help you with that. In the same way that you want to go to a good source for your vehicle, you need to go to the right source for your life, and you need to be connected to them. You need to know who they are and be in relationship with them. And I want you to notice something about the very first word in the statement, connecting. Three little letters at the end, ing. It means that it's a continual thing. So somebody could ask you, based on what Jesus has said in John 15, how do you know if you're abiding in Jesus? And I think many of us would respond by saying, well, I know that I'm abiding in Jesus because I got saved in 1967. And that's a good statement. But notice the grammatical structure. I know I'm abiding because I got saved. They're placing their present situation based on something that happened in the past. And that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus doesn't talk to his disciples and talk to them about praying a prayer. He doesn't say you need to make a decision to live for me. He doesn't say you need to get saved. He says you need to abide. You know what abide is? It means to continue, to remain. It means to live there. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continuation. If you're going to abide, it means you're going to stay there forever. When you give your wedding vows to your spouse, there's no time frame on it. It's not a 5 or 10 year contract. It's I do and I will forever. In the same way with Jesus, it is abiding. Abide in me. It means to remain, to continue, to endure, to stay, and to live. To abide in Jesus is to remain continually connected to him. So for someone to ask you, well, how do you know if you're abiding in Jesus? And for you to say, well, I read my Bible yesterday. I had an experience last week. You're speaking in two different structures. It's not about what your past experience has been, it's what are you experiencing right now, abiding. It's in the present and it's carrying you into the future. Are you abiding in him? It's continual. It's consistent. It's not a Sunday activity. It's a part of our everyday lives. Now, abiding begins with making a decision. Abiding begins with praying a prayer, with getting saved, with coming to know Jesus. But that is the beginning of a relationship. It's the beginning of a lifelong process. Now, let me make myself clear. You don't need, in order to abide in Jesus, you don't need to go around all day doing spiritual activities. Your 16 hours of awake time doesn't have to be this continual process of praying and reading the Bible and worshiping and fasting and disciplining yourself. And as soon as you stop thinking about Jesus, you're no longer abiding in Jesus. No, that's not what that is. It's not this continual, you got to live all day long, all you got to do is be super spiritual and religious. That's not what it is. It's not based upon that. I heard of a gentleman once who was so consumed with feeling this need to spend time with God that he'd just lock himself up in his room, he'd be reading his Bible, he'd be spending time in prayer, completely neglecting his wife, wouldn't spend time with his children, because, no, I have to go spend time with God. Well, it wasn't too long until his wife filed for divorce, and all the women said, "You go, girl." Because that is not abiding in Jesus. You can't neglect your family and abide in Jesus. Amen? So let's not over-spiritualize this and think, wow, if I've got to abide, and Pastor Tim saying that means it's a matter of what we're doing all the time, then I mean, I can never watch another movie in my life. I mean, I've just got to continue to pray, and when I'm done praying, I better be reading the Bible, and when I'm done reading the Bible, I better be witnessing to somebody. So that's not what this is. Our connection with the vine is not based on our efforts or our works. Our connection to Jesus isn't based on the things that we do. We've only ever been connected to the vine as a branch by God's grace. It's by God's grace that we're connected to the vine. So why would God all of a sudden change the rules and say, okay, now you've got to perform. Now you better start doing something here. If you want to stay connected to me, you better start earning your place here. See, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, Jesus didn't say you're hired. This isn't a job. He said, welcome to the family. He didn't say you're hired. Okay, let's go. Let's start making sales here. What's your projection for what you're going to do this month? How many times are you going to read the Bible every day? How much time are you going to spend in prayer? Let's see. I want to see your performance evaluation. We're going to do it every end of the month, 31st of every month. We're going to sit down and we're going to evaluate your spiritual progress. Jesus didn't say you're hired. He said, welcome to the family. And so when we look at our connection to Jesus, we cannot think performance. And this is what we all tend to do as human beings, because we feel good about ourselves when we feel like we're performing. When we've checked a few things off the to-do list, we feel like I've had a great day. You feel like you're doing good at work if you're getting noticed by your boss. And we want to perform in order to make God happy. Abiding in Jesus is not about performance. It's not about performing for Him. It's about being with Him. It's about being with Him. It's about being in relationship with Him. You'll never be able to earn your place as a branch on the vine. You'll never be able to do it. You'll never be able to show yourself to have enough value to have earned your place on that vine. See, it is by the grace of God that my wife Christine married me. It's grace. You want to know why that's grace? Because I didn't earn her position as a husband. I didn't earn that. I didn't do certain things to impress her and to make her happy and work and perform in order to achieve the level of spouse. But you know what? I actually did do things in order to impress her and to make her happy. I did do those things, but do you want to know why I did them? It wasn't to become her husband. It wasn't so that I could prove that I'm qualified. You want to know why? This is going to change your life. Because I wanted to. Because I wanted to. I didn't have a proposal. I didn't have a package or a Microsoft Excel sheet on my 10 steps to convincing Christine to marry me. I'm going to bring her flowers on her anniversary, and I'm going to take her out for dinner, and I'm going to hold the door open for her. And I did all of those things. And sometimes I did it so much it bothered her. But I didn't do it in order to prove I'm qualified. I can take care of you. I didn't have any other motive. I wanted to. Is that too simple for you? Because it'll change your life. To perform for God in order to prove to Him, I'm qualified to be a child of God. I'm good. I can be a good Christian. I can do this thing right. That is not abiding. It's performing. You'll never be able to earn it. It's by God's grace that you're there. And guess what? God's grace can keep you there. God's grace can keep you connected to the vine. It's a matter of relationship. And so think about a relationship. Think about a marriage that began strong, and yet over time there was a lack of connecting with one another, where time goes by and there's less conversations between husband and wife about your day, about your victories and your challenges, about your dreams. You stop praying together. You stop, instead of having a movie on a Friday night together, one of you are out with the friends and the other one's at home reading a book. Imagine a relationship that is drifting apart because of a lack of connection, and yet they are still husband and wife. Status doesn't change. Your relationship may be experiencing different temperatures, different distances of closeness and farness, and yet, guess what? You are husband and wife. That does not change. You're not kind of married to them. You are married to them, period. And our relationship with God, we may not be in close fellowship like we should be, like we want to be, and yet that does not mean that you are about to get lopped off the vine. Because we read Jesus saying, every branch that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And I think many of us read that as a threat. I'm so glad that you've become a part of the Christian family, but if you don't continue to perform in a certain way, we're going to have to lay you off. That's what we think Jesus is saying here. If you don't bear fruit, listen, John, if you don't start producing some results in the family of God, I mean, we just can't really keep you around much longer. We think Jesus is threatening us. That's not what He's doing. He's simply stating the reality that when a branch doesn't produce fruit, this is what the vine dresser does, is he comes and he cuts it off. Why? Because it's not producing anything of value. But when you are abiding in Christ, you know what branches just naturally do? They bear fruit. Do branches have to think and focus and push out fruit? Do branches function by grape? No. The only job of a branch is to stay connected to the vine. If the branch is connected to the vine, the fruit just comes. It is not the branch's job to produce fruit. Listen to me. People think that as a Christian, as a believer, your job is to produce fruit. You know, it's not. It's to bear fruit. This is where Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't produce anything by yourself. You can bear fruit. You bear fruit. You know what that means? You carry it. You carry it with you. You don't produce it. See, when you carry and bear the love of God to someone, you're not producing love. God is love. You're just representing that love to somebody else. When you bear the fruit of kindness and goodness to somebody, and you extend a blessing to somebody, you didn't produce that goodness. God did. You're just a carrier. You're just a paper boy bringing it to them. And so I'm talking a lot about this morning because I want to be real sure that when we read these words, we don't set into performance mode and start thinking, well, I got to do. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, if you abide, you will produce fruit. This is just the natural outcome. It's going to happen. And in the same way that a relationship begins based on you're doing things for each other because you want to, not because you feel like you have to, it's the same way a relationship ends. You know, marriages don't fall apart because, oh, you didn't stay home with me on a Friday night, instead you went out with your friends. Or relationships don't end because of a lack of compassion or a lack of quality time. Relationships don't end because of what you do or don't do. Relationships end because they no longer wanted to do it. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. If your performance got you into a marriage, as soon as you stop performing, that would stop it, but that's not what it is. It's based upon a matter of the heart. I know when someone gives me a gift, that it's because, oh, they thought of me. I appreciate the thought much more than the gift, right? Because it's a matter of the heart. So listen, abiding is a matter of the heart. God is not monitoring how long has it been since Jerry read his Bible. And if he doesn't crack open to a psalm or a proverb in 10 days, we're going to have to lay him off. God is not monitoring your performance, saying, why doesn't he do more? Why doesn't he stop doing that? He just wants you to abide. It's relationship. Your spouse, if they are thinking, well, why don't they do more of this? It's not because they really want those things. It's because they want you to think of them. Your wife doesn't really want the flowers. She wants you to think about her and then go get her some flowers. Do something about it. It's a matter of the heart. Your entrance into the family of God was based on you acknowledging your inability to successfully live life by your own wisdom. You realized, I can't do this by myself. I need somebody to help me. And God continues to treat you knowing you can't do it on your own. You don't have enough willpower to do all the right things and say no to all the wrong things to live a perfect life. That's not how you remain abiding in Jesus. It's a matter of the heart. It's the matter of your love for him. Well, you might say, well, Pastor Tim, but I haven't been bearing much fruit recently. And if I don't have fruit in my life, am I becoming a branch that is at risk of being cut off? Because, you know, I don't feel like I've been doing much, producing much, having much results for God. I haven't really been doing much recently. And so I'm frightened. I'm frightened that I might lose my relationship with Jesus. Let me encourage you this morning. You're not. Because if you were, because of your heart being interested in doing more for God, it tells me that you care. It tells me that you love Jesus and that you desire to continue to have a relationship with him. So if you are in fear going, have I become a non-fruit-bearing believer? Am I at risk of being lopped off the vine in connection to Jesus? You're automatically not at risk because you wouldn't be worried about that if it were true. Because it's a matter of the heart. Your concern for, I want to be closer to Jesus, but, you know, I haven't spent enough time as I should. Hey, then you're in a place where you realize that you want to do those things. And if you continue to abide, it's natural. You will naturally produce fruit You don't got to push it out. You don't got to pop it out. The fruit will come. Branches do not produce fruit. They bear fruit. They bear fruit. It'll come out if we abide in him. So Jesus says this, the end of verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That would be a great title for a self-help conference. You go to a motivational seminar and they'll tell you, you can do it. You can do it. If you just try it a little harder, you can do it. Whatever you want to do in life, you can do it. Jesus says, you can't do anything. You're completely unable to produce anything of value whatsoever. That's what Jesus says. Nobody's laughing. That's what Jesus is saying. And you're like, well, that's not funny, Jesus. That's offensive. That's offensive. See, we get offended at this. We say, Jesus, that's not very nice. And we tend to disagree with Jesus. And we might say amen today, but we go home and we start thinking, well, I could do some things without Jesus. I could produce something without Jesus. And we started thinking about all the things we do. No, you know what? Even if I didn't have Jesus in my life, I bet you I could do some pretty good things. I mean, I know it wouldn't turn out too well in the end, but and we start defending ourselves and saying, no, Jesus, I mean, I can do some things without you. Jesus says, you can't do anything. You can't do anything without me. What can a branch do if it is disconnected from the vine? It'll be real good at playing dead. That's about it. A branch that is disconnected from the vine is completely useless. And until you get connected with the source of life, Jesus Christ, you cannot do anything of value. You can't. But when you make that connection, everything changes. You know how it changes? Jesus starts saying things like this: all things are possible to him who believes. As soon as you establish a connection with the vine, you go from not being able to do anything to being able to do absolutely everything. That's how radical the change is. When a branch gets connected to that vine, all it has to do is rest and abide in that vine, and fruit will come. You can do anything if you're connected to the proper source. So a branch's primary concern is not whether or not it's bearing fruit, but whether or not it's abiding in the vine. Are you abiding in Jesus? Not are you reading your Bible and praying every day and doing all these spiritual exercises. That's not what I asked. Are you abiding in Jesus? Because if you have a desire to be in a continued close relationship with Jesus Christ, then you will want to read your Bible, spend time in prayer. You'll want to give of your tithes and offerings. You'll want to be a blessing to others because your heart was there. I want to be a blessing to them. I want to do this. And then the fruit will come. It'll be a natural end result. As soon as it's connected, the fruit just comes. If you skip down to verse 9 in John chapter 15, I want to read that. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Jesus is saying this. Just as God has loved me, I have loved you. That way. Do you know how much God would love Jesus? Do you know how much the Almighty God would love his one and only Son who gave his life to save his creation? Do you know how much he'd love him? Jesus is saying, I love you just as much as God loves me. I love you just as much as God loves me. And so he says this, abide in my love. Pastor Tim, how do you abide in Jesus? When I read that, I think I've got to do things. I've got to read my Bible. I've got to pray. I've got to go to church. I've got to give. You abide in Jesus by abiding in his love, by remaining in a place where you are fully aware of how much Jesus loves you. And when you start losing sight of how much Jesus loves you, when you start wondering, well, I don't even know if God will forgive me of what I've done, and I don't even know if how God thinks about me anymore because of the way that I've been living my life, you are distancing yourself from the love of God, and that is the very place where you connect to the vine. Abide in my love. Never forget how much God loves you. And that, based on that connection, when you realize how much somebody loves you, don't you just want to do something for them? When you decide to do something extra for somebody, you know what? I'm going to go buy a gift card for my coworker. I'm going to pick up a coffee and bring it in to my boss. I'm going to take my wife out for dinner tonight. You know why you thought of that? Because you were thinking about something that happened, or thinking about how they did something for you or thought something towards you, and you want to do something in return because you thought about how much they loved you or how much they liked you or how much they blessed you. I don't usually make a decision to do something extraordinary for someone, just randomly. It's usually because I've been thinking about, wow, you know what? They've been good to me. I want to bless them. This is what I'm going to do for them. And then all of the spiritual activities, all the spiritual disciplines, it'll come as a natural result. You will find yourself hungry to pick up your Bible and to read. It won't be a chore. It'll be a desire of your heart. See, when Christine and I were just dating, she went away to Kazakhstan for a month on a missions trip. And knowing that we were going to have a month apart, which we'd never gone a month without seeing each other since we had met. And so what we did was we wrote a journal every day for 30 days before we left, and we exchanged it. So that every day, even though we were apart and we couldn't have phone calls and we couldn't have emails, I had a letter every day that I could read from my girlfriend, even though she was away in another country. Do you think I woke up in the morning and was like, I don't want to read my letter today? I know I'm supposed to, I know it would make her happy, but no, maybe I'll watch some TV instead. Are you kidding me? I was so excited to open up that book and read that day's letter to think about the things that my girlfriend was writing down to say to me. I was so excited. And when you come to realize what the Bible is that God wrote down this for you, you get to a place where you start thinking about how much God loves you, and this just starts looking like a medium rare filet mignon wrapped in bacon, seasoned with all the trimmings. It does, because it's not a chore anymore. It's, I want to read something that God wrote down for me. I want to get some insight into what God would have me do today or make this decision in my life. You become eager to read that. Why? Because it's based on our relationship. And as soon as we understand that abiding is not a matter of performance, it's not a matter of how much did you do for God, and that's the basis upon which you are abiding, it's based on your relationship, then it'll free you. It'll set you free. It'll set you free from condemnation. It'll set you free from guilt. It'll set you free from pride. It'll set you free because you realize God loves me, and I need to abide in his love, and that's how I remain connected to him, by remaining consistently aware of the reality that you are loved by God, and he wants a close relationship with you. And so we spend time with him. That when we are abiding in him, it will naturally produce the results of you're going to spend time talking with God. You are. You're going to spend time in fellowship with him. Because you're going to want to let him know your frustrations. You're going to want to let him know your dreams. God, this is what I want to do. This is what I have a dream to be able to do this. This is where I see my company going. This is where I see my family going. You're going to want to talk to him about those things because he's someone that you can trust with that. So you tend to share a lot more with those who are close to you because you trust them. You tell your spouse and your close friends, those around you, you tell them some of your dreams and your fears a whole lot quicker than you'd tell anybody else. Because you realize, hey, they care about me, they love me, so I can trust them with this information. And they're going to be there to encourage me, or they're going to be there to challenge me. Because I can trust them, because I've established a relationship with them. And you're abiding in Jesus. You realize you can trust him. You can trust him. You can lean on him when you don't know what to do because he is the vine. He is the source that's going to produce fruit in your life. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Once your heart is the right place, once your heart is in that right place, that you've set your mind on abiding in your relationship with Jesus, then you can connect with him in all these other areas. In all these other things that many of us know that fill our lives, or that should be filling our lives and how we spend our time. And even when we turn away from those activities, when we're with these other things that God has called us to do, so God doesn't just call you to read your Bible and pray. He calls you to enjoy your family. You're abiding in Jesus when you go to the park with your kids. You're abiding in Jesus when you take out a friend for a cup of coffee. When you're there to listen and allow yourself to be used by God to speak into their life. You're abiding in him. And so a few things that I want from us this morning. I want us to be absolutely rid of a fear of being removed from the vine. I want that to go away. I want us to lose a fear of losing our relationship with God. Another thing, I want us to get rid of our performance mentality that thinks that God smiles a little bit brighter when we do more things for him. I want us to get rid of that. God's smile doesn't change when he thinks about you. He loves you. And I want us to resolve to abide in Jesus, to remain connected ourselves to the vine intentionally. Intentionally. To be conscious of the fact that we are going to rest in Jesus and in our relationship with him, and all of these other things will happen as a natural result. Since we can't do anything without him, and with him we can do everything, all we need to be concerned about is abiding in him. I'll ask the worship team to come on up to the front. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So one of the things that the Father does as the vine dresser is he prunes us to bear more fruit. He comes into our lives and he desires to shape us and mold us and to cut away things that are inhibiting us from the best harvest possible. So when the vine dresser comes in, he comes up to a branch. He is digging out of the way everything that is going to get in the way of a beautiful harvest. And so we need to allow the vine dresser to come in and to take some stuff out of our life that we've been holding on to. Some things that we've been clinging to, we need to be willing to say, okay, God, I'm willing to let that go. I'm willing to change my priorities. I'm willing to change my schedule. I'm going to let that go because I'm interested in the harvest. And when we can stand in the mirror and examine ourselves and say, okay, I'm going to start first by abiding in him, by myself remaining connected to Jesus, then we can, as a church family, go out and connect other people with the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Once we have established ourselves and resolved in our hearts, I am going to abide. I'm going to remain in the love of God. I'm going to rest in him and what he's done for me. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for speaking these words to your disciples and for, through the power of your Holy Spirit, bringing this to us this morning, that you are the true vine and we are branches connected to you. And God, I pray that we would bear much fruit, not because we tried really, really hard, but because we focused on connecting with you. That we would spend our time getting around those who encourage us in our faith, draw closer to you, and by our abiding, God, I thank you that you will bring a harvest. That you will bring a harvest, God. And that it's not our job to bring in the harvest. It's our job to abide. And so, God, I ask that you would just release into our heart a fresh understanding of your love for us this morning. I pray that you would bring us into greater levels of experiencing your fruit-bearing power in our lives, in this city, in our businesses, in our marriages, God. I pray that your fruit-bearing power would become our reality because we abide in you. In Jesus' name, amen.